For the three of us?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, you can answer four of three.
Yep.
So roll call. Do you do the roll call?
I do the roll call.
Okay.
Ready? Greg Johnson.
Here.
Marie Williams.
Here.
George Vitale. Chris Wilson.
Here.
Is that it?
That's it. So let's go through the agenda.
So did y'all have a chance to glance over the minutes?
Yes, okay.
Look okay. Mm-hmm. Any issues? Any issues, questions?
I'm not an official member, I don't think.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'll hush.
Yeah. You are? I'm Greg. Nice
I'm
to meet
Craig.
You. Craig? Okay. Craig, nice to meet you. Are you persons wishing to appear? But we're not to that.
No, he's with you.
I'm approving. The president of the
Minnesota. Oh, okay. Great. Okay.
I approve the match.
All right. So we have a motion. You approve?
I move.
You second, Chris?
Second.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Any comments from the public? I don't see any strangers here.
People that are strange.
So no persons wishing to appear. Okay, moving right along. So, unfinished business. Normally, Kathy or Julie.
Yeah, what is that? Gosh, yeah.
The only thing I was aware of was the Clark was what we up to it was the what's going on here.
Yeah. Is that considered unfinished business?
I mean, I was going to sort of include it as part of my report to talk a little bit about it, but I can do it now.
We can wait for your report if you want to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Any new business that anyone's aware of? Mm-hmm. Huh? Okay. Okay, Jason, you want to go?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Keep it short and sweet. Right. I'll give you a report that currently through March, mm-hmm. total revenues to budget, we are trailing by 44. Exceeding prior year by 15. However, we are also exceeding EBITDAR by quite a bit, and we are actually trending to finish in the black by $46,000, which is $11,000 over budget. So that's the...
That on the EBITDA basis or bottom line basis?
That's EBITDAR.
Okay.
That's before debt service taxes, which we don't have. So our budget said we were going to make 35 and projected 46, so we're ahead. So
Jason, I'm sorry, I'm speaking up just a little bit. Speaking up just a little bit.
Okay, sorry. We're scheduled to exceed the budget by 11,000 in EBITDAR, and that's due to the savings we have been experiencing through labor and expenses. March was a very good month. We exceeded budget in March by $1,000, considering all the challenges that we had. We're trending very well in April. With the camp coming up next weekend, not this weekend, but the next weekend. And we lost 3 days. Needless to say, we've lost 3 days last week. We lost a couple days already in this month, so our trend is very well.
So what was the last days? Rain?
We lost Monday, Tuesday, and pretty much a little bit yesterday for us. And Monday and Tuesday was the only thing we had on Tuesday was the ladies' event, and it rained right after they got in.
That's right. I remember that.
We're all ready for the camp.
Already. So that's not this coming weekend, but the next.
Next
I was wondering, I was talking to somebody else.
Horse is in good shape.
Yeah, I played recently, but I rode by. The greens look real good from the road. Anyway. Number 7. I always check out number 7 green.
Yeah, it's a little slow. We have the place totally fed. It just hasn't popped for definition as much because it's hot. We had cold weather this morning, so. But it has greened immensely over the last few days. You can see it's been injected. So hopefully we'll get some growth so we can...
Well, all the girls that played last Monday thought the greens were pretty fast and I had a lot of problems.
They look fast from a distance. I hadn't played in about a month. So they were great.
They were actually slow.
And they thought the greens were excellent. They couldn't believe it. From more than court when they came from the different courses, they couldn't believe how green ours looked.
Yeah, so you have it. They were prepped for the lanes. We didn't put them out there to speed that they earned by it. Trust me.
So they're in the kind of shape where you can cut them really low for the camp.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Once we we'll double cut and roll. Start preparing. They'll start going down probably this week.
So rounds are pretty good.
Rounds are solid. When we don't have rain, we did. We're averaging well over 180. So the numbers are there. You know, we lost for rain in March, and still were able to exceed budget. Our golf carried our golf revenues carried all other revenues the last month. Memberships, of course, we've been exceeding the memberships. April will be the first month that we don't have the off-season members because they have all gone back, so we'll see how many. I'm projecting about a $2,000 loss there. Not loss, but a loss of members. We should probably still exceed the budget.
So about the banquet hall, how's that going?
Going well. It was light this month. February and March were lighter than prior years, but we're heavier in the summer this year.
All right. So. Well, up on that, last year, again, don't take this ever personally or anything else, or that any fact that I want anything to do with F&B operations. I just know a lot about F&B operations. What was the final loss? I mean, following up on these numbers from last year that said to be finalized, what was the loss on the F&B last year? Top line of the loss.
No problem. I brought a couple extra.
To a total revenues of over $300,000, with the labor expenses that I explained mostly into, we took a $49,000 hit last year.
And what was your percent of labor, percent of the cost of goods?
The total labor expense was 65%. Okay. Operating costs were in line at 23%. And the cost of goods were 49.
65, 23, 49? So to me, that means you lost $117,000.
We lost $49,000.
Well, the numbers don't add up because if your operating is 23.
Food and beverage revenue. That's because the number appears in here incorrectly for on my financial number. Let's look at this other. Total food measure is 330,668.
So labor alone of that 330 was 195 plus 30 times was 200,000 in labor. That's 65% labor cost.
1995, give or take. For some reason, this year end thing I had does not have the right tool. I'm going to go over to you.
I That's what I don't want to waste time on. This food and beverage has been a continuous conversation here, and I'll just find on the record that, and this is on the record, that the food and beverage operation doesn't work down there. It's, your labor costs 65%. That means for every dollar you bring in, 65 going to labor. You've got no chance. Not to mention, no offense to anyone, but you know, I've mentioned you bring in all these chefs and spend all this money in this facility and everything else, and you still continue to lose money. And the quality is not great of the service or the product when you're down there. No offense to anyone, it's just not great. So, you know, there's an opportunity there in the food and beverage not to lose money and to have a better product. And don't take it personally, Jason. I think you guys are doing a great job on the golf course. I think it's, and I've always praised the golf course, praised the job you're doing down there. I think it's great service. Food and beverage is a specialized business, and that needs to be shipped out once and for all, because we're going to consult it something. It's a mess. I mean, if anybody who has any knowledge at the F&B at all looks at it, you walk in there, I mean, it's just a mess. And you can't leverage $330,000. It just doesn't work. At a $200,000 labor cost, that's a lot of labor. I do near a million at a $250,000 labor cost. So it's just doesn't work at that rate. So what's the labor cost? Do we get that?
So you think it should go out for a bid?
Outsourcing? We've shown an inability to run an F&B operation effectively down there. Mm-hmm. And we lose money. I don't like losing money. I don't like the city losing money. It's just on the record, just to say that we've had an ineffective F&B operation. I think people realize that, not just on a financial end, but on anything end.
You know. Total labor is 142.
Well, then your labor cost is 165.
Yeah, as I said, my labor is 142. Operating costs. I had to pull up a different form. For some reason, that financial that I looked at must have been an old. Just pull up the wrong. Food and beverage costs are 54. Cost of goods, I can give you total number. This one with not percentages, but I can figure it out.
So when these numbers are reported, like the city council or to the city, right, do they ask the same questions to you?
Yes.
Like Chris does?
We review everything every month in a financial review meeting. It's explained much more in detail. Go through an audit every year from the city.
Well, then these numbers should be set. It should be right. Boom.
I'm sorry, but I'm coming here just to give a brief.
I get it, but on a reporting basis,
in front of me.
I get that on a reporting basis. If they do an audit, it would be boom, boom, boom. So I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's all done. That's all there.
I'm just curious if there's a concern there.
I just think it's a specialized business and not a misunderstood business. And I think Billy Casper's done a. Is golf course management is fantastic, but this F&B has been a problem for a long time down at Muni, and it will continue to be so, and there's no reason for it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not answering because I'm offended or anything by your question. That's not it at all. That's not my expertise. Yeah. Kathy knows a lot more about that than I do. I'm more the outdoor side of things over there is what I deal with Jason on more so. Yes, I'm not an expert in that at all. I'm not even like a little bit of an expert.
Yeah, here's the thing.
So I don't even, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know, you know, how to answer that. Like, Kathy wasn't able to come today, but I'll certainly pass your thoughts along to her.
Again, I'll take that out. I have no interest in running the F&B down there, so let's take that out of the equation. I've heard that. I pardon everybody because I want to run it. I don't
even a 44 cost of goods.
44 is okay.
Yeah, 44. So I don't know what I just, as I said, I pulled up something on here that was incorrect, and I pulled up the correct one. There's your numbers.
Yeah, 44 on the labor ended up being how much? Did we figure that out?
142.
142 divided by 330.
on the top line. I don't want to waste everybody's time with this. This is, again, this is a... So, and then, yeah, so, either way, losing $50,000 a year, whatever it might lose, and
43%.
Yeah.
And again, you know, if you recall, and you want to remember that when we hired the food and beverage manager, he was hired and the budget said 35, which would have put it in, but there was a law that was going to supposed to kick in that minimum salaries was 47.5. Mm-hmm. He was hired at 47.5 because he was hired in December and then the law did not go into effect. But so anyway, we still already had him hired at 47.5. So a lot of the additional and the secondary thing, as I've explained and I'll explain here, is due to the fact that we cannot get assist help, we ran a lot of overtime with the 5 to 6 employees we had as opposed to having. I had 20 people on payroll, but would they come in for on call? They were on call, but they wouldn't be available for the times we needed. So we ran into a lot of overtime. That's why we have a lot of savings this year.
Yep.
This is why I can be running $44,000 behind budget and still be trending higher on the EBITDAs because the labor is a lot more in check and in place because we're not running into overtime.
But wouldn't it just be easy having a plus, you know, a plus operation?
I think we're growing a business, Chris.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Okay. No, what you're asking, I'm going on record. We're growing a business and we are competing against a lot of other things, and we're not expected to be the Hilton. We're doing $3,000 weddings. If you're in the business, you know how hard it is to make money on $3,000 when you add in labor and things of that nature.
I'm saying this, don't do them.
So, well, you know, that's not what the city wants. The city wants that banquet hall. It was in our management contract. They put it in our bid that when I walked in here, the assistant manager at the time wanted to have this turn into a banquet facility. And so we're doing what we're asked, and we're growing this business. We're turning it around. It'll be just like anything. It'll start off here and we're going this way. But we're not going this way. If we're going this way, then it comes down to the time where you say to the city, we'll recommend to the city, you know, we can't do it.
I'm okay with it. Again, don't take it personally.
I'm not taking it personally. I'm just giving you a business. Okay. I'm giving you a business answer that it's growing. What I'm seeing, yeah, it's a challenge. No one said it wasn't going to be. I'm taking an area where they walked in here for what, 60 years that have come in here and took weddings and they didn't do anything. They just paid a room rental and nothing happened, correct? That's what I'm used to. Now I'm turning around saying, no, we're not just a room rental. No, you can't bring an outside caterer. Okay, it's a tougher sell. Okay, and last year was the first time that we were promoting it, and our cost of goods are high because we did do a lot of promotions. I waived room rentals. This year, I'm not waiving room rentals.
What does $3,000 get you? I mean, I know there's more. If I have different
That's based
prices.
On 100 people. 100 people. $30. It gets you almost everything except for, it doesn't get you a...
So I get food and rental and...
There's a package of food in there, yes. Yeah. Of the most requested.
Yeah.
On a dollar amount.
Yeah, that does.
Now, do they lower it? Do they try to lower things? Yes. The only thing we don't have in our $30 package, mm-hmm. excuse me, is entertainment. Mm-hmm. We don't have a photographer. We don't have the cake.
Okay.
And the decorations.
That sounds really inexpensive for a wedding.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
But when you start adding those other things, yeah.
Sure, and then it ends up, there's a lot of extra things that we end up doing for people to provide the service that, I mean, and we do get a lot of compliments on our service. Okay. Chris is referring to maybe the grill service because you can't get it real fast because we don't have a grill that works, that we have to run the food back and forth here. But as far as the banquet service, it's outstanding good end service. And it's
you don't have a grill that works?
Yeah, the piece of equipment we have in there has been broken and we're not going to replace it because it's $12,000 and it doesn't work. Never worked. For 3 years I've been there, it's been down more than it's been up. We've talked about it. It costs $1,000 just to put because it's not it's a built-in hood. There's no hood to this thing. So we have to replace the piece of equipment. So what we've been doing is cooking over in the banquet hall and bringing the food up. We have a grill outside that's pushed out a lot of our revenues. Mm. So we've compensated. And you can only do four, even when it was operating, you could do a foursome on there. You can do four burgers at a time. It's a small little grill. The kitchen is as small as this table.
Yeah, it's the way, you know, the way the building is, and you know, when, I guess when it was renovated, I don't know if they knew about, you know, different codes and things like that, things that were required, and the expense to totally redo. I'm not sure. I wasn't involved in any of that, so I don't know if they didn't realize that they needed to do A, B, and C to have a, you know, a grill that met all the requirements, and or they realized it and were like, we can't bust that whole wall out. We can't afford
it. Logically, here we're talking that we're dumping a bunch of money into the Canadian operation. We put up a bunch of equipment for a money-losing operation, hired a guy, everything else. Then a grill and a golf course.
Now, this is in the snack bar.
I know, but I'm talking about, so we dumped a bunch of money in the catering. This is business decisions. And we bought all this equipment for this quarter catering hall, and we give away weddings, don't make any money. And then we have a grill and a golf course for golfers to have hamburgers and beer and hang out. We don't have a grill. Logically, there's something wrong with that. I mean, logically, as a business, it's something wrong with that. The entire F&B operation should be assessed. Maybe you can keep your catering. Everyone wants to have weddings there. That's super. We can give away weddings for everybody and subsidize them to compete against unsubsidized operations. Maybe that's okay. But maybe the grill needs to be shipped out. It's not effective food wise.
It doesn't need to be shipped out. We need to have a bigger kitchen, which is on the forecast, which is some capital improvements that we've been asked to do and we have in the background. But it's going to take a change in that building completely, because the kitchen, again, you're looking at the size of the kitchen. You can't put anything in there that can make you.
And you're talking about the snack bar in
correct.
The clubhouse,
correct.
Not, yeah. Not in the banquet hall.
Correct. Okay.
You can't go back because your cart barn's already small, right?
Correct.
Behind it,
that's what's I disagree with the entire
plus house. The kitchen, the hood, mm-hmm. is not. It's supposed to go through the ceiling. The self-contained grill that we have is so it doesn't have to go through. However, that self-contained grill never worked. I've been here 3 years. It's been down more times than not, to the point this time it just completely went. And now it's a $12,000 piece. I have a hard time saying to the city, let's go spend $15,000 mm-hmm. on something that's going to break down again. So let's get into, we do have, and I've been charged with this, and I do have a plan to convert that more into a sports bar, to give it a better thing, utilizing the other room. It's there, but it's also going to require a little bit more money, and I'm not sure that's going to get approved at this point in time. And that's per our think tank conversations that I have with Kathy and Julie and the things that we're doing. We're prepared to go to the next step. But right now, we got to let some things catch up beforehand before you go to the money.
Well, again, my concern, and don't ever take it. I've heard you've taken it personally. I've heard, and this is aside, that I'm hard on you or hard on the, and I want the F&B. It's nothing to do with that. I should have to hear that actually from outside people outside this meeting. But that's an aside, not off the record. On the record, we've shown an inability to run an F&B operation, and then we're going to dump more money into running another sports bar, whatever it was, we've shown the inability to run an F&B operation. That scares the hell out of me. Once you can't run a first operation, that I've already said a long time ago, this isn't going to work, and it didn't work, it's scary to have to keep dumping more money and throwing more money after bad money. You know, I don't like to throw money after stuff that's not working.
No one's throwing money in. First of all, this is what we have 1 year. We're 1 year into this.
3 years.
We've had 1 year into this food and beverage operation. Okay, 1 year in this food and beverage operation. We only completed, 1 year from me being here, we only completed the kitchen with the renovations while I was here. Then it took 1 year to start selling and building. So we're 1 year into it. $330,000 total revenue was the first year of operation with the banquets. That is a jump from 162. Yes. Do we have to control labor? I explained the labor.
Yeah.
Cost of goods high, yes. A lot of promotions thrown into a buffet, $11.99 buffet that didn't make us money.
Disaster.
Right? Which I said was all marketing. I, you know what? I could have taken that, shot that money down in marketing.
A long time ago.
Okay.
well, this is all what, no, these are all the numbers that we just talked about.
I know, but the idea is like buffet was a disaster. I said in the meeting it was going to be a disaster on the buffet. So here's what I'm saying. Private operators, Clark managed to have this nice little snack bar here, decent food, everything else, made a little money for himself. Super. That's what private operators do because they have to. They don't have to. I'm not going to table the conversation because I don't want to bring up beating a dead horse. But again, on the record, the FMB operation is not effective on any form, profitability, quality, anything. Think about a different direction altogether. You've done a great job with the golf course. Billy Casper's done a great job with the golf course. So maybe we should stick with the golf and let, you know, Marriott does all, people who know what they're doing in F&B, let them do F&B. So I've been very complimentary of the golf course. I've always been complimentary of what you've done with the golf course, your staff and everything else. The F&B is not the strength of Billy Casper.
Well, that's your opinion.
And you're talking about the banquet hall side. I mean, you're not saying
everything in F&B is.
He's saying that should also be.
Well, I don't think you're speaking. You have no facts on that.
I have a limited number.
If I had to show you the same facts of this company, of what we do F&B, this isn't the only golf course we do banquets on.
I'm just telling you what I eat and what I see. When I go down there, and I do go down there, and I was a member this summer, what I see. I mean, I'm...
You're basing on what you see, and I'm basing on 1 year
and
of operation. We have placed everything in perspective, and we're growing a business. It's a brand new business. And I am in competition with several things that are going on. Right across the street.
I'm going to agree to disagree, so I'm going to table it. But yeah, I don't want to ever, you know... Again, we're here to be constructive.
Yeah.
And...
And we are, and I think that we're just having a basic conversation. You're asking things.
What's that?
You don't understand that there's a government behind this. You're a private enterprise. You can go and do whatever you want. Spend money, make money, lose money.
Yeah.
You got a city behind that city government behind what he's trying to do. That's not defending him. We've had our arguments.
Do you think that's
just saying it's apples and oranges? You cannot compare it.
But is the F&B good now?
No, it is.
It's not.
He would do the F&B if the city were able to provide money to upgrade the growth so he could provide what he needs to provide.
So I agree, so we all agree that it's not very good. As an advisory board, on the record, this
measure. Good. It's good.
Oh, it is good.
The city that's behind it, that has to provide the funds to expand, can't. So what can he do? What is he supposed to do?
When we say
tell me what the solution is if the city cannot provide the money to give him what he needs.
Dude, you could do that entire kitchen with no money from the city and do a hell of a bang up job out of there. Come eat at my place one day. Seriously, right. Come on.
Yeah.
I'll buy a lunch one day.
Are you talking about just the snack bar now that you are the whole situation with it?
There's
a snack bar in that we like.
Quality of food, you're way off.
All those people like the snack bar.
I'm there 4 days a week. You guys eat every day.
I mean, this quality of food is very good.
I'm not there 4 days a week.
I understand a service thing. I understand a speed of service thing, and I'll take that and I'll stand up for it. But I'll stand up that I have a better hamburger than Burger 21.
Good.
All right, and I'll stand up to a lot of French fries were even better. So I don't understand when you say good, right? You know, let's take two different things. Can I have better service? You bet. If I had the equipment, I can push out a lot more hamburgers. The fact that I have to go over and do the breakfast sandwiches, wrap them up and put them into a warmer so that I can sell them, is to provide a service. It's not giving you a fresh one, because if you wait till when I eat the last one at noon, yeah, you know what? Okay, I don't like it.
Again, this goes back to a lot of things, Jason.
I want to clarify what you're going on record. You want to clarify what you're saying, and I want to understand. If you want to be constructive, I guess what I'm hearing is my food stinks. My food doesn't stink.
I never said the food stinks.
Okay, the quality of the food.
And there's the word stinks. Don't put word in my mouth.
So it's not good.
It's not good.
The quality is not where it could be. Think about that.
He's a food guy, so he's going to be more critical than
I am. Negativity. I mean,
I like anything. So.
No, but what I like to do is get this out after this meeting and going forward, and we can just be productive going forward, because the way the way things are standing, business is moving forward, and it's going in the right direction. All right. I have labor challenges more than I did have expenses on the cost of goods is higher than that. This is a part of our conversation all the time. It's on the heat of my conversation with Billy Casper all the time, because we work towards the 35%. We already have the right percentages in there, and I'm working very
hard. 35% labor or cost of goods?
35% cost of goods. Okay.
And then what? Are we ready to move on?
Again, I don't want to be controversial. I'll table that. And
we have more.
I don't need to be on the record. I just don't want to argue with anybody about these things.
It's not an argument. It's a conversation. You wanted a conversation. We had one.
And one day with numbers that we actually can see would be very helpful. I mean, next meeting I could have numbers I could actually see on the FEB for 2000.
We went down this road before, okay, so.
We've asked for it.
I'm giving you, you know what, these records are on file.
I wonder if board members can attend, like the monthly meeting where you have Kathy and finance people.
I want to, I.
Well, but then you could get more into detail, maybe people there that, you know, just watch the numbers close like you do, you know, when it comes to
food. I just hate to see you lose money, that's all. I'm done.
Okay. You good?
I've been good. It all started in okay. Me. I said, I'm done.
You have anything else to report, Jason? Of course. Sorry I brought up the banquet
hall.
That's a heck of a lot
more than I planned on producing that in here.
He was going to ask anyway. All right. Pine Oaks, Clark?
All right. Where do I start? Gosh.
Why don't you start with your banquet services?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you really do want to talk about it, I mean, we don't.
Diet Pepsi's awesome.
We rent this room, and we're in the world of providing a service. We, you know, basically our fees are very inexpensive, and there's no cost to us other than the cost of, you know, the electricity to the building. So I have found a niche that, and a market that can afford, it's an affordability issue probably here more than anything. So if I tried to expand, which I'm no expert in it, I wouldn't even feel comfortable having to do what you're having to do over there. But and when I was there at some point, there was some talk about, you know, moving more into the world of the restaurant industry, and it sort of, you know, it didn't happen because we didn't have, like you're talking about, we didn't have enough room in the kitchen. I mean, when we remodeled that thing several years ago, there was no room back there. It was like, there's no way we can have a restaurant when you don't have enough room to have a place to cook. Mm-hmm. But our clientele, we do baby showers, we do meetings. You know, there are some nighttime events. We have an occasional, you know, like a 16th birthday party or a surprise birthday party, that type of stuff. But I just kind of tell everybody up front, and I think our market's kind of aware that, you know, they're going to get what they get. They're going to get a very, I hate to use the word cheap, but they're going to get a very, very inexpensive room, literally $200 to rent this room. Excuse me. But that's what they get. I'm going to open the door, and I'm going to turn the air conditioner on, and I'm going to say thank you for coming, and that's all they get. But I don't have anything invested in that, so we, you know, ultimately, well, I guess we're...
Yeah, so...
It's just a different deal. But we can expand. I mean, there's thoughts. You know, we could...
Please don't.
Well, the bottom line is this. I think Craig made a good point about, you know, the whole city thing. Major point, I think, more than one occasion. Let's just, you know, the fact of the matter is the city of Ocala has made a decision to move forward with this. If there's some losses here and there, there are. It's a service to the community in many cases. If we felt that way about everything, we wouldn't have any swimming pools. We wouldn't have a lot of services because we don't make a lot of money or any money on a lot of things we do. And it's, that's just the way it is. It's a service. You made your point, and point well taken.
I've been good all along.
And
that's kind of
the city's working through that, and that's maybe one day it'll you know, we'll see some profits, and it's not going to happen overnight. There was a lot of traditions at that place that people just came in and did what they want. There was a room rental. And then they brought in their own stuff. And changing that is, it's going to take some time. And our goal is not to lose money, but if it does, we see it as a part of it as being a service to the communities, because maybe not everybody can do a $50,000 wedding at Golden Ocala.
And I'll just make one last point. We never went back to the city for any money, right? Even though we show a loss, we did not ask for any money back. So there was cash flow management, which I managed. So we had enough revenues in here that I have never gone back to the city and asked for money. So that $44,000 loss that we showed as our total book loss last year, there was no money exchanged between the city and Billy Kasparov. It was cash flow managed. So it's a big difference. Just
that doesn't mean anything, but
it means a lot. It should mean it means I'm not going back and asking the city for.
Well, just because it was budgeted.
We're not going to close the snack bar. We're not going to do an $8 million renovation so we can have a grill that cooks hamburgers. We're gonna have a snack bar like golf courses do. We're not going to contract it out to some hotel or some food and beverage company. We're going to right now we're just going to continue like we are and great. Probably will forever.
Perfect.
As far as the snack bar, I mean, if anything changed with the banquet hall, my guess would be we would go back just the way it used to be done. But I don't see that happening anytime soon.
So. That's why I was asking if they get these same questions at the monthly meetings, because obviously if the city manager doesn't care. You know what I mean? Yeah. Why should
it's amazing
I?
To me.
If it gets better every time, then that's what
it
we
is about. We go through the topic of every financial review meeting we go through, and everything is dissected out. Everything is broken out. It's right before them. We have Anthony. We have Julie, Kathy, and even the last couple we had the city auditor in there. So that's who represents on there, and then on our side we have. We usually have our regional manager sitting with us. So.
Yeah. I mean, if public recreation was a money-making venture, the private sector would have taken it all over 50 years ago.
And other things, the last thing, again, it's all based on pricing, which pricing is not the same. I am not charging. We already know, the city knows, our beer pricing, 50% cost of goods. 50%. That's what our pricing says. So we've dissected it all out with our core cards. We know what we're making. We know where we can't make. I can't charge $8 for a hamburger.
Yeah, I thought we tabled this a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
All right, back to Clark.
Clark, I don't know.
Anyway, here's what has transpired since the last regular board meeting.
For the meeting, go you went too long.
All right, what has transpired since the last, not regular board meeting, but special board meeting? I guess it was a meeting that was called once I gave a letter to the city manager expressing concerns about the ability to stay operating at Pine Oaks and gave like a tentative date that we were looking to possibly get at. Well, the letter said get out of the contract. Then I guess the special meeting was called to inform the board as to that happening. And I guess it was talked about, it's in the minutes there, what the, I guess the vision for the Pine Oaks facility is, or possibly could be. And at this point in time, it's all conceptual. There's nothing really in concrete. But anyway, so when we left that meeting that day, quite honestly, the feeling that I got from this board was, some were okay with it, some was, hated to see it, but I didn't sense that anybody was, going to be overly concerned if Pine Oaks ultimately closed. And I was a little, I was 50-50 on what I wanted. Well, I wasn't 50-50 on wanting to see the course close. I've never wanted to see this place close. I've bought this place for 20 years. And I've been here, for 20 years, and it's been we've been trying to close it for 20 years. We can't get it done, apparently. But anyway, so I went to the city council meeting, and quite honestly, I think there were some surprises at that city council meeting that maybe perhaps management didn't think was going to happen. And be honest, I didn't think it was going to happen. When I saw the front page of the heads of newspaper when it said Pine Oaks might close, I had originally planned on not even attending the city council meeting. This report was going to be made by the city manager, and I assumed that the council would have either accepted it or maybe said, try to work something out. I don't know what they would have done. But once I saw that headline in the paper, I thought the opposite, the optics of me not going to the city council meeting would have looked pretty poor. Because it was the day of the meeting, not after the meeting. It was before the meeting. That's reporting by the Star Banner. They couldn't wait to put that in the paper. It just thrilled their heart, apparently, because then they also wrote some other negative stuff. But anyway, I show up at the city council meeting prepared to sit there and knowing that when I come, there's no possible way I can leave that meeting without somebody saying, come up here. So when they got to that point in the meeting, he was presenting the letter and they were discussing it. They were talking about the, you know, the possibilities of what the future for Pine Oaks might be. And I think when it got to the point where when someone asked the question, well, are we ready to do this? And the obvious answer is no. And how long is it going to take before, you know, it's even this conceived or, you know, possible development, how long is it going to take? When it was said that it's going to be a minimum of 2 years and more likely three before anything would happen. So then the question is, well, what's going to happen in the meantime? And naturally, Mary Sue Rich, who is the council member, you know, representing the west side of Ocala, she was very, I don't want to say upset, but she was overtly, you know, not liking the fact that there was no further discussion about it. And she grilled me pretty good by standing up there, and I got her drift. And she started, you know, saying things like, you know, have you thought about the, you know, the ramifications if you just leave and the course is going to close? Have you tried to work something out? I mean, she, and then she made a couple statements. It's all public, recorded council minutes. You know, basically made the statement, have you thought, you know, she said something like, I had an employer one time that when I had a problem, they told me to come up with a solution. You need to come up with a solution. And I'm like, I don't know that I'm in a position to come up with a solution. That's up to city management. But what that did do is it opened up a dialogue. They started talking, and then one thing led to another. And Mary Sue just come out point blank, said, Clark, what would it take for you to stay? And I said, I can't answer that right now, but I do like the question. And at that point, even a couple of the city councilmen that I feel like management might have thought wouldn't have any interest in doing anything other than just saying it's over, they were the ones that said, you need to get with CC Golf Management, and y'all need to work something out and come up with a number and bring it back to us. And that's what happened. At that point, met with city management, John and his assistant and Kathy, and I don't guess you were in any of those meetings, but, and I guess the finance manager, and we were trying to come up with everything. We couldn't, I said, I'm lost. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the bottom line, we've got to have some money. How do we want to do it? Do we want to spend it on the course? What do we want to do? And nobody had any appetite, and I don't think city council had an appetite to spend $2 or $3 million on Pine Oaks. That's just not going to happen. It's not in the cards. Everybody knows that, but so they come up with a plan, and it was acceptable to me to once it was determined that if I left in May for the next 2 years while the city was trying to figure out what they were going to do with Pine Oaks, they're going to have to still maintain this property at some level, and they come up with a number that it was going to cost $120,000 a year to maintain the buildings, the property, the infrastructure, you know, rough cut it, the whole deal. So when that kind of come about, it was like, well, if it's going to cost that much to close, why not just possibly inject that into the operation that's already here and at least in the interim period keep the golf course open for the same price? And that kind of was the selling point, I guess. And so they put it on paper and got the attorneys to look at it. There was a lot of things involved there. It took a little bit more time than I had hoped, but that's just the way it goes. So it went back to city council. I guess you were at the meeting. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't want to say it was a formality, because it wasn't a formality, but at that point, once it gets on the agenda, and from my experience after 20 years, I realized that if the city manager is backing something and certainly his support staff, if they're on board with making a presentation or a proposal and they're endorsing that, most of the time, unless it's just crazy, the city council is going to kind of go along with the wishes of management because he is in charge of the city. And they voted yes.
Well, they trust.
All five of them voted yes. They like the plan. They like the idea. Now, are we going to spend a bunch of money on the course? No, we're not. What we're going to do is I'm going to try to do everything I possibly can to get as much stuff fixed with this irrigation. It's never going to be fixed. It's kind of like the broken kitchen. I can't imagine y'all have to cook over in the building to service a restaurant in another building. I don't know how you can.
We have so the long term.
Yes. We'll get off of that. Sorry. But I feel you pain.
I didn't say anything.
I feel you pain there. So it is what it is. People have asked, well, does that mean that, you know, is the course going to be corrected? Well, no, it's not. This place is not going to come. Unless at some point, and I think I vented in another meeting, unless the city at some point wants to spend $2 or $3 million, Pine Oaks is going to be, it is what it is.
So a status quo reverse lease, and it's $120,000 a year lease.
Basically, and the way that's going to work is essentially we come up with what does it take for the based on the way we operate with a $300,000 a year payroll total. How can you know, what's the number is it going to take bare bones to operate and not for, you know, for CC Golf Management and to not go bankrupt? And we come up with that number, and the bottom line is in a given month, in an operational month, if it gets below, the number is $67,000 a month. If it gets below that, the city's going to infuse that back into the operation to make it whole where it won't, you know. And, you know, I don't know what the number's going to wind up being. The thing is written up to where it's a maximum of $180,000. If we use all $180,000 the first 6 months, I guess we're going to be in trouble. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm confident that it's not going to happen. I mean, more or less, I mean, we've operated out here for 8 years with some help from the city, a lot of help from the city, a lot of support from the city, but financially, we've been on our own for 8 years and we've made it. But this was going to be the year that the telling fairways and the projected numbers and just the direction of the overall business and the industry. I mean, it's very highly competitive still. I mean, I hope it's at the bottom. I honestly think there's a point, everything has a top, you know, a top and a bottom. And I hope we're kind of at the bottom, and I'm not suggesting that Pine Oaks is going to be a golf course for 20 years. The plan is for us to be here 1 year, from May 1st to April 30th. If this works and we're able to operate, we're able to still be open and service the people that utilize this facility, and there's a lot of people that does. There's still a use for this facility. You know, it'll be revisited again probably next. I'm hoping that we won't wait all the way up till April. You know, but, you know, maybe right after the first of the year, see how it went over, because we'll know for sure where we are financially, because we will have gone through another, you know, out of season, you know, growing season, you know, see what the green
looks like. Basically, it's an agreement for one year renewal.
Yeah.
And
if both parties agree.
Right. Yeah.
Either party can, one
and
party
caps
can say
the loss,
no.
Which is great for the city. It caps the loss. That's great.
Yeah.
And it's 180 is the max.
But my feeling that I got being in that council meetings, and after 2 years, I feel like it'd be a 3-2 vote.
I mean, of course, things can change in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. I mean,
so the long-term plan is still the same, to look for a developer and have.
Well, supposedly
that's the idea that it's going to take it'll take a couple years. Yeah.
But keep the course open.
To make that happen.
Mr. Zober is actively, he has been given direction from city council, approve it, let's do it, keep it open, but don't stop. Keep working toward your plan.
Okay.
And, you know, in 2 years' time, we need to be breaking ground on this thing.
I mean, I'd love to see it stay open.
He's already, John has already been in contact with a developer that did the same thing in Ohio.
A private developer.
Yeah.
Private company.
And they, you know, they like it, and it's, you know, they want affordable housing, but nice affordable housing. And they're not, when I say affordable housing, they're not talking about Section 8 or anything like that. And to do a 9-hole executive course with like...
or a regulation course.
Yeah.
With 3 holes for the first T program.
Right. And like $125,000 homes. You know,
I like that.
They're looking at, you know, with Chewy and all this new, you know, FedEx and all that out there, and that's just going to continue to grow, that would probably be, you know, people that work there would like that too. They'd be close to work and things like that. There's, you know, the whole plan for this property over here where the Royal Oak property and all of that, you know, the city's buying that. DEP is going to help us with the... with cleaning up the contamination and you know, turn that into retail and housing over there and just really, you know, improve this area. And this would be another thing, that the recharge park that's going to be built there, it'll just it'll be good for this area.
And the city has an easement. The county line is right there. Mm-hmm. The driving range, literally, if you slice it off the driving range, you just hit it in the county. But there is an easement on the north side of the property up there, and that would very likely be the entrance way to this new development, you know, because you got a 4-lane road up there.
Yep.
You got 3,000 potential jobs, you know, eventually there's going to be like 3,000 jobs up there. So, I mean, it's a vision. I mean, I'm not, you know, in 2 years, there may be a total different vision, but that's the immediate plan the city has with Pine Oaks. And my goal is to minimize that number as much as I possibly can, because I'd like to be able to stand up in front of city council. It's my incentive to bust my butt like I always do, but I want to stand up in front of city council next January or February and say, okay, this worked and we only had to tap into that this amount of money. You know, if we have to max it out, I don't know that I'd even want to do it another year, quite honestly, because then that means we didn't bottom out. I'm hoping that this is last year or this year is going to be the bottom. And I mean, I know you have to do some improvements eventually, but our core base people that play here, I mean, they're here. Now, the only way you could ever grow it back, I mean, obviously you'd have to put some money into the golf course.
And the city made it clear that they made the decision to do the improvements to Ocala Golf Club, to Muni, that they didn't feel like, you know, financially they could do that with 2 golf courses. So they chose the oldest, most historical course, and that's the direction, you know, that they're moving in.
Can't say enough about Clark. Like I said last meeting, he saved the city $2 million over the last 8 years, because they were never going to close Pine Oaks politically. So he has saved the city $2 million. It's a tremendous job. You've earned whatever you get. It's great.
Well,
I'm going to tell you, saved the city $2 million at least over the last 8 years.
Well,
Clark,
we're going to keep it going.
Okay, good.
As long as we can.
And that's the key part of your report. Yep. Do you have anything else you
want to talk about? I just had a couple of things. I mean, I don't want to take up too much time. We got our Merry Masters qualifier Saturday. We had a kind of presentation. It was a good tournament, big success. Our Wednesday league is going on. And our greens are pretty good right now. That's the irony of this whole thing. Our greens are better right now than they were 10 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
We're doing something right with the greens. We got a couple of spots.
Yeah.
But the overall playability of the greens are better than they've been.
I'll be good for the Masters.
You know, we struggled a little bit in the summer, but we've figured out what to do.
Right.
To make it, you know, more presentable and more playable even in the summer months. So, and we're just going to keep working on the water. I mean, we're going to do what we can. But no plan for any major. The city's not, you know, they don't want to put any major money into Pine Oaks, knowing that 2 years from now we're going to, you know, do something different anyway.
Yeah. Smart. We'll see. Compromise. Smart.
We'll see what happens in 2 years. You know. Okay. So.
All right. Well, thanks.
Yep. Thank y'all.
All right. So, Mr. First Tee.
I'll be brief.
You're Greg, right?
Talk yes. As long okay. As you want.
No, thank you. I have 70 plus kids in our spring programming, which is finished this week. We're actually working on summer camps for 9 and 12s, and we've had an issue with 13 to 17 year old kids leaving the program every year, but we're going to start a special camp just for them for working into the high school side. That's where we tend to lose them. We've got the 8th annual golf tournament going on September 21st at Golden Ocala, and everything's working well.
Let's get the club thing.
What's that?
Club sale.
Oh, yeah, garage sale. Great American Golfers Garage Sale, June 2nd. We've had so many clubs given to us.
Right.
Most of the kids can't swing that weight club, so we're going to do a garage sale because there's nothing better than people who want to buy reasonable clubs, and golfers are number two to fishermen for buying crap.
Where is that?
Ain't that the truth?
That's going to be a golf
club in the meeting space.
That's
so if they want to pick up a club and go out to the range, they can hit it and see if they like it. If not, bring it.
How did the birdies and bridles did that?
We ended up shutting that off.
Didn't
happen. We're going to do it in the fall.
Okay, do it in the fall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the tournament, is it Golden Ocala, you said?
Yeah, Golden Ocala.
And that's like a four-man scramble?
Yep.
How much does it cost?
$125 this year.
Per person?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I'm putting it on Facebook when I get home tonight. The entry fees, everything's set on the website. All I have to do is just turn it on. So,
when is it? What's the date, did you say?
September 21st.
September 21st.
And it's not going to be announced yet, but we've sold out every year, so we're talking about doing a double set, an 7:30 start,
double
and
shotgun.
A
double shotgun.
21st, wow. Is that an away Gator game weekend or something? No?
It's on a Friday, right?
I think it is on a
Friday.
It was on a Friday?
Yeah, it's on a Friday.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Okay. So we'll do a 7:30 shotgun start. And then a 1:30 shotgun start. We'll be able to put more people on the course,
really.
Yeah. So
I know they usually plan those things around football sometimes.
No doubt.
It does matter around here.
That's Gator Tennessee weekend.
Yeah.
Third weekend.
That's usually,
about
it. That's away this year, though.
Yeah.
That was home last year. So anyway, is that it?
So that's it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. So the associations.
That's one of me.
We have both member presidents here.
We had our golf around last Monday, and we had 78 girls. We with 7 courses, and we were really down this year. We're not sure why, and Sue Hall is looking into that. But we had a really good time, and we lucked out. It was cloudy all day. We got to lift and place our ball, thanks to Jason. Girls like that. The greens were in great shape. All these girls from these different courses really, really, really liked the greens. And we no more got in, and it poured the rain. So did we ever luck out. But we've now lost about, I think 8 girls now have gone back already from Canada. So we'll be down a little bit. But everything is going good with our bowlers, and as I said, our golf around was great, even though it was down. Food was good, and everybody enjoyed it.
Great.
That's it.
Perfect.
All right. OMGA membership is about the same as last year. We picked up maybe one or two. We're at 107 now. Big boost has been in the participation. We've been averaging 74 players every month.
Good.
And we're really happy with that. We've made some arrangements. We've been eating the good food that they're providing at all of them like the food that is served to them at Ocala Municipal Golf Course. And you can get well at donuts. They hated the donuts. We're doing something
we bought them the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Well, we had fried chicken.
Nice.
Fried chicken and mashed potatoes and green beans.
Everything's going well with us. We're keeping our numbers up. The participation numbers everybody's really impressed with. And
so you guys
the condition of the golf course, I believe, is a major factor for keeping the membership numbers up and in the participation numbers. We're gaining children of members. I've seen an increase in that. some of those younger, that younger generation.
Legacy,
yeah.
Legacy member.
We're looking at the that second generation of the millennials, I guess they're called, to start getting involved in golf, and we're finding that's happening.
They have skin shorts and there's sneakers out there.
Men are playing music. They play their music loud in golf carts, and it's okay. That's what we just want numbers. We don't care that you play music and wear your middle of the calf length shorts, and we're there to play golf, and they're treated as well as
any. Is there a fee to be a member of the association?
Yes, it's $25 per year.
Really? Okay.
$13.29. I'm just guessing. I have to get the number from Tommy. That goes to paying for your handicap service through the USGA.
Perfect.
Okay.
So we're actually only charging $11, some change per year for membership. The other rest of that money goes to.
It's a little steep.
Rest of it goes to USGA to take care of handicap service, which is a part membership. Same thing with the ladies to get your handicap service.
You guys meet and play together certain days.
It's all Saturday. It's one Saturday per month that we get together for the official men's events.
That's right. Last Saturday it was five clubs. That's all.
Last Saturday we were only on five clubs. That's one of them.
I've seen that going on every now and then. I play on Sundays usually, but when I play on Saturdays, I've seen that group in there.
We have
a lot of people need anyway. That's all you really need.
I probably only need like one club.
And whether they like the five club or not, there's guys that'll, like I did Saturday, I played better with only five clubs.
Takes him to see you.
All right, we'll see you today with only five clubs. Hey, I'm playing pretty good with only five. So, but we have fun doing that. Guys have a lot of fun with that one. And the scrambles, and we do a different format. Just about, well, at least 10 of the months, we do a different format.
Is Howard Jennings, is he still playing? Where did Howard go?
Howard went to take care of his wife, and I haven't heard.
Oh, okay.
Hadn't heard what the situation was with him. He has not went. He like disappeared.
Yeah.
Nobody's heard from him. So.
Well, thank you for your report. Thanks everybody else for all the reports. I don't really have anything else to add to any of the other board members.
I just want to say that, Clark, the article that the one guy wrote, he needed to get his facts right, because he did not have his facts right. And I know several other girls from here gave him a 1-2 email and all that didn't hear from him. And I thought, even before they even do things like this, they need to get their facts right before they print this big thing that, you know, it's just going to close and not have their facts right. And I felt sorry for you on that.
Well, it was uncomfortable, but most everybody, I guess, that would care knows me anyway, and they know that what some of the stuff that was said was not exactly true. But that's just the way it goes. I mean, that's the media. And I was never quoted. I was never interviewed. And he was just saying all this stuff that I said. It's like, say all this stuff. Talking about playing golf out here all the time. And I want to write back and say, if you played out here, you snuck on, because I don't have any record. I've been with the city for 20 years. I've never seen you on either golf course.
Either one, exactly.
He snuck on if he played here. It's true.
Yeah.
And then, when the city council does agree to, come up, or, with or whatever, the management's plan, they don't put that on the front page. They put over here, it's biased. Just bottom line, it's biased.
I think a lot of people think it's closing now, too, so I'm going to have to start telling people, hey, it's not closing yet.
During a critical time, it hurt us bad. I mean, my timing, I had to do something, but it definitely hurt us somewhat, because a lot of people would, call. We got a little bit of a surge. I mean, once that, we've had several people come out, and people that were already playing here mostly, but we've had a bump in membership sales. Like, well, if you're going to be here, let me pay for my membership. A lot of them were holding off and are holding out, until they knew for sure. But and then our play numbers had picked up. Well, it's only been a couple of weeks. You can't measure 2 weeks. We'll see what happens. Okay. We're not dead yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just before we quit, Julie, what's that? You want to? I don't want to keep this much longer, but these things they added to our...
That's just flyers of just information stuff that's going on. You know, a couple things. I mean, you know, there's obviously a lot more things going on with the department than two things. But, you know, we don't want to inundate you with stuff, but you know, there's just something out at Fort King National Historic Landmark and then something at the Discovery Center.
Okay.
And going back one last time, you know, I'm not going to mention food and beverage again in the meeting ever, but going back, this is an advisory board. When we start not being an advisory board, not being willing to say anything because for whatever reason, we're not doing our jobs anyway. I thought serious about resigning this year because we just, nothing, I say something that don't get a number or whatever. I don't, it's an advisory board. We have to be receptive. We maybe ask me to come down here and look at it. It can be better. It can be better. No, that's all I'm saying. It's an advisory board. And just because a conversation is controversial sometimes doesn't mean it's not constructive, doesn't mean it's meant to be anything but advisory. And that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody.